So for the sake of people who may be having to listen on the recording, I'll repeat that we'll start off in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 10. So if you want to turn a little bit down that way. But as always, I need to give us a little bit of context about what's going on. The Bible is an incredible book, but if we just pull verses out of context and we don't know what's going on, it's likely that we can misunderstand something, and in that case, we might accidentally teach something that the Bible didn't intend to teach. So, I'm going to read for us verses 10 through 22. And we'll look at some of the things that we see here. And then I'll ask some questions about that passage and about some other things. And then we'll divide up into our groups. So, Matthew chapter 21. I apologize. Chapter 21, starting in verse 10. The context is the triumphal entry. Jesus is nearing the end of his life. He's kind of in the last week of his life in ministry here on earth, and so he comes to the city. And what happens when Jesus approaches the city? Does he just kind of sneak in? No. What happens? How do people greet him? With the palm leaves? Yeah. Are they kind of quiet about it, or what are they doing? Are they singing? Son of David, Hosanna! Here comes the Son of David. They're shouting. So Jesus approaches the city. And the people come out to greet him, basically. And then what do? Do they just kind of hang out in the city? Hang outside the city gate? Or do they go in with Jesus? They go into the city with Jesus. They follow him in. They basically go out to welcome Jesus, and then they bring him in. They go out to welcome Jesus and bring him in. And we do this kind of on a smaller scale, right? You haven't seen somebody in a while, and they come up to your house, you open the door, and you go out to the porch, and you greet them, help them with their bags, and you bring them in. Yeah, we kind of get this. That's what's happening here. The people go out to meet Jesus, and then they welcome him into the city. So start with me in verse 10. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and they heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself'?" He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. In the morning, when he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, he went to it, and found nothing at all on it but leaves. Then he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they were amazed, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." Okay, so those are the verses that I wanted to read for us. What I want you to do in your groups when I split you up in just a minute is what I'm going to do now with these verses, with these 12 or 13 verses that I just read. It starts out with... How do these verses start out? Verse 10. Take a look at verse 10. What's going on in the city? Is it peaceful? Is the city peaceful? No. What does it say about the city? They're wondering, who is this? There's turmoil. It's chaos. There's turmoil. So Jesus enters to a loud noise, right? People yelling and shouting. You can imagine, you know, people trying to catch an early morning nap. What's all this racket? Who are these people coming in here? So after that, Jesus recognizes that the temple is being misused, right? Jesus looks around. Does he approve of what they're doing? No, he doesn't approve of what they're doing. They're in the temple. They're in God's holy space, and they're taking advantage of it. They're taking advantage of God's holy space. So then, what does Jesus do afterwards? He says, the blind and the lame came to him, and what did he do? He healed them. That's right. He healed them. Okay. After he healed them, what was the reaction of the leaders? Were they happy about it? They were mad. They were angry. It actually says here, verses 14 and 15. Take a look at verses 14 and 15 here. The blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. That's a cause for celebration. We just prayed for somebody who's going to have a five-hour surgery on their legs. Man, if Jesus came down and healed that person, that would be a cause for celebration, wouldn't it? But look at verse 15. When the chief priests and scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, mad at those kids crying in church. When they heard the children crying out in the temple, they became angry. That's incredible. The leaders were angry, and they rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Turning to write low and fast. If this looks like a foreign language, I promise it's not. So then there's a scene shift. There's a scene shift. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem again. It says he went out to the city of Bethany. It's just a nearby city across the valley. Jesus arrives again. And what does he do when he arrives? What does he see and what does he say?
He was hungry.
He was hungry. Okay. What did he see?
A fig tree.
All right. Jesus sees a fig tree. What did Jesus do to the fig tree? Did he look for figs on it? Yeah. What did he find?
Leaves.
Found leaves. He didn't find anything. He didn't find any fruit, at least. And that's the important part. Jesus didn't find any fruit. I'm going to summarize that by saying no fruit. It's like when you go like late Saturday night to the grocery store and the produce truck hadn't come yet. You look around, where are all the tomatoes? Where are all the bananas? He sees the fig tree not bearing fruit. So what does Jesus say? Oh, too bad. I'll have to swing by another tree.
He cursed it.
In the preacher question box, Joe had a question about this. She wasn't satisfied with my answer, so maybe we can continue the conversation. Jesus cursed the tree. Why did he curse it? It didn't what? It wasn't producing fruit. It didn't bear fruit. That's right. Cursed the tree. Okay. And then what happens to the tree? It withers and dies. You know, if I were bold enough to try to rewrite this story, I may want to see Jesus bless that tree and maybe let it bear a little bit of fruit, right? But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. So the tree, he cursed the tree, and it dies. Okay, so I have basically kind of bullet point summarized this story. You know, that's how I've approached this. What I want my groups to do is to do essentially the same thing. Remember last time when we looked at some of those parables, you know, about the parable of the tares, parable of the, you know, 10 virgins? That's essentially what we did then, so that's what we're going to do now. I'm going to ask, if it's okay, can we split up into four groups? And everybody's kind of looking around. Oh, I'm going to have to move. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Because I'll do it kind of where you are. I think this would be the best way to do it. These two rows, can y'all take, let me wrap this board around. Now, I'll write these down for everybody. Have I told you how much I enjoy this whiteboard? we have a godly and mature eldership here that knows how to take care of its folks, especially eager young ministers like myself who can take advantage of a whiteboard like this. These two rows, if I don't trip over it and wipe out, these two rows, can y'all read for me Matthew 24, not the whole chapter, but verses 29 through 44. So these two rows, Matthew 24, verses 29 through 44. The next two rows behind it. It's going to be very similar to this, but it's a little bit shorter. I'm giving Linnea the hard work. If y'all wouldn't mind reading Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. So these two rows back here, if y'all would read Luke 21, 25 through 36. So just about 11 verses. And like I said, these two will be pretty similar. These two will be pretty similar, but there are some differences. I think the best way to split up this marvelous group of people over here might be these three rows together, because Chris was telling me that he loves to get up in the middle of class and run around a little bit of exercise, so maybe y'all might be able to jump back here. And so, yeah, but these three rows, if you would cover for me, please. Ooh, y'all are going to get some fun stuff. This is good. I hope you're ready. Chris, I know you've got some training in this kind of stuff, so in the words of Uncle Scar, be prepared. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you might already be able to know what's going on over here, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 11. Through chapter 5, verse 11. So that's these rows up here. And then last but definitely not least, especially since we've got a deacon and two elders back there, this group, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 8 through 18. So these two rows back here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. It's basically 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to the end of the book. So like we did with Matthew 21, and like we did the last time, just kind of bullet point some of the things. You know, if you see some kind of image, like, I don't know, a loud noise or a trumpet, hint, hint to this group here. If you see something like, you know, not knowing when the Son of Man returns, if somebody's passage mentions something like that, I want you to take a note of that and cover that. So this group has Matthew 24, 29. This group has Matthew 24, Luke 21, 1 Thessalonians 4, and then 2 Peter 3. I will set a 5-minute timer and just kind of walk around and make sure that everybody is following along. And then, you know, please do talk with each other and make sure that you are, that everybody's on the same page here. So, yeah, take a minute to read this and then discuss with your group. And if you need to write your bullet points down on maybe one of the backs of the connection cards or something, feel free to do that too.
generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away.
Adam, are you getting the answers? This group is rolling along. Okay. Everybody have a good sense of kind of where we're going with this? It's fun. It's good. I'll tell you about it when I'm not recording. Just a couple more minutes, and we'll get back to it. We've got plenty of time. Take maybe just another minute, just one more minute, and I'm actually going to set a 1 minute timer. I'll set a 2 minute timer. All right. Mary, you've got all the answers, right?
Of course I do.
Of course I do. Yeah. And we'll need to. If your group is mostly ready, choose a spokesperson. That will make it easier than having to choose a spokesperson. Delegate the authority to this particular individual. I'm keeping an eye, and that clock's a little fast too. About 4 or so minutes fast. Okay, that's our timer. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody being a good sport. I saw everybody engaged, and most everybody not checking Facebook, so that's good. That's good. If for anybody who happens to be listening to this later on the recording, you could probably skip over about 7 or so minutes worth of recording. So, and Adam asking me about Gatlinburg. So, okay. So I hope that when we all get our bullet points up here, we're not gonna write up. Do we all have bullet points?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, you need another hour? You have to ask about all the people who want to hear me preach. So, no. Yes, we'll have plenty of time. We got plenty of time. When I ask you for your bullet points here in just a second, I think we'll begin to see some themes that tell us a little bit about what will happen at the end of this current age. At the end of this current age. So Jesus teaches in these two sections, Matthew and Luke, and then Paul has some things to say about it in 1 Thessalonians, and then Peter has some other things to say about it. You'll see a lot of similarities. I think we'll see a lot of similarities. We'll also see some differences, and that shouldn't worry us because, you know, sometimes the differences are just differences in emphasis, and other times Matthew and Luke and Paul and Peter, they're responding to different questions, and so they want to make sure that their readers, that their audience understands something that maybe wasn't necessary to say to the other folks. So let's start off with this group here, Matthew 24. We'll start off with Matthew 24. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But Matthew chapter 24, what sorts of things did you see? Images, motifs, main ideas, what sorts of stuff did y'all find? Okay, so darkness.
And loud noise and shaking heaven.
Son of man, loud, I'll just put loud, and then cosmic upheaval. How does that sound?
Great.
Thank you.
The angels come.
There are angels as well. All right, very good. Okay, what else?
Well, then it said something about learn the lesson of the fig tree, but then it talked about a young fig tree with tender leaves, not the one with no fruit.
Okay, yes, yeah, so.
There
is another fig tree.
And then basically the whole second half was about no one knows the day or the hour. And they compared it to Noah's time where people were doing all their normal activities until right before it happened.
Okay, so no one knows and it's The end, I'll put unexpected end. How does that sound? Yeah. Unexpected end. All right. It's interesting that Jesus goes back to the fig tree, and that's why I wanted to tell the story of the fig tree. Jesus goes back to this fig tree and kind of draws a principle from that. Let's see what Luke 21 says, and maybe we'll see some similarities and some differences there. So what did Luke have to say for us? Turmoil, okay. Would you describe some of that turmoil in terms of cosmic upheaval? Signs in the heavens, right? You know, the earth shaking, international distress, okay.
The heavens will be shaken.
Yeah, yeah.
And the seas will be turning big time.
Yeah, yeah.
Roaring.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then he goes on to bring up the fig tree.
Okay, we see this fig tree again. That's interesting. All right.
And notes that as the fig tree begins to put forth its leaves, it's summertime, and compares that to the end of time when all of this turmoil and upset with the heavens and so forth.
Yeah. So Jesus wants everyone to be able to discern the times, to recognize what's going on, and uses the fig tree as kind of an example of, you can tell when things are about to happen with this fig tree, you need to be able to tell when things are about to happen with the end of the age.
Yes.
Yeah. You couldn't have said it better yourself, Doris.
There you go. My letter's
not bad.
Are you talking about the time these people were living?
That is a good question, Ms. Groh, and we will dig into that in a little bit. Ms. Groh is already ahead of me.
We were talking about that in some places it talks about the generation.
Right.
And then some places it sounds more like the world pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you've got?
It reads to me like it starts out talking about the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Groh, I think you're exactly right. So let's give Ms. Groh, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think Ms. Groh is right. At least that's how I'm reading it. That's how I read it. Jesus makes sure that to his disciples, so Jesus is talking to disciples probably somewhere in the early 30s of the first century. And he's telling them about all this stuff that sounds like, you know, what will happen at the end of the current age. And then he gets pretty specific about certain things. And it sounds a whole lot like Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple that occurred 40 years later. Because he's talking about this generation and things like that. Yes, ma'am. No, they didn't. It didn't.
Did some of that other stuff happen that it
said? Well, so that's one of the interesting things about how do we understand Jesus when he starts talking about darkness and cosmic upheaval and stars falling and the sun is unnaturally dark and things like that. I think we'd be hard pressed to take Jesus super literally on every single point in detail.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah. I think it's a figure of speech. Yeah.
The stars falling with that big rulers.
It's possible. It's possible. I lean towards it being just, there's going to be utter chaos everywhere.
Yeah.
There's going to be chaos everywhere, and it's going to be so dramatic, it would be as if stars were falling. Now, you and I know that if a star, an actual star, were to fall to the earth, it'd wipe everybody out in an instant because the sun is a star. I mean, goodness, that would just right off the top of the bat. So I think what we see Jesus doing is kind of hinting at there will be some signs that show you sort of the general end of the age is near, and there will be other signs that point to a very specific event that I think was fulfilled in the disciples' lifetime. And I think that's the destruction of the temple.
Well, it does go on to say that generation wasn't going to pass away until they saw all
that. So I think with some of these things, it did happen. Yeah. But with some of the other things, I don't know. I think we're still here. Jesus hasn't returned. So that's a good conversation. And Ms. Groh, I'm glad you kicked that off for us. I'm glad we talked about this before class. Yeah, well, goodness, don't we all? Let's hear from our group on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What sorts of things did you see? Interesting. How you live matters for the end of the age. Weird.
For the section that we covered, there's several contrasts between alive and dead.
Okay, yeah.
Asleep and awake.
All right.
Night and day, like John. Then also light and darkness. Well, light and darkness, like John, he brings night and day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then sleep is used two different ways. The first part of the reading, he's talking about those who are asleep in Christ.
Right.
They're not to be preceded by those who are alive. So there's sorrowing. The Christians who are alive are sorrowful of that, just like those that are dead in the world.
Yep.
They shouldn't be, is what he's talking about.
Yep.
But then later on, he talks about those that are asleep, those that are not in the light, those that are not dead in Christ, but those that are of the world that are asleep.
Yeah.
And the contrast between Christians being awake and knowledge of that.
That's right.
Those
mm-hmm.
contrast play throughout. He does mention the day of the Lord, the beginning of
All right.
And that he comes as a thief in the night. You don't know. It's unexpected.
Interesting. An unexpected end. Okay.
Just like the birth of the child.
That's right, yeah.
You can't all you want, but you can't say what time it's going
to be. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
And then it ends the section of how we should treat each other. It's comforting compared to the sorrow at the beginning, then edifying and building up.
That's right. All right. Yeah, so one of the questions that is behind 1 Thessalonians 4 there is, people were asking Paul, Jesus hasn't come back yet. Are our brothers and sisters who have died before that, are they going to miss out on the resurrection? And Paul was trying to comfort them and say, no. The dead in Christ first will rise. What did he say about rising up to meet him? Did he say something like that?
Like they rise first, and then we go with him.
Where do we meet Jesus? That's really one thing I want to hammer. Where do we meet Jesus?
In the air.
Meet him in the air, in the clouds, yeah.
We which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Okay. Let's get to 2 Peter 3. I'm sure you've got a little bit more, but we need to get to 2 Peter 3 because I want to make sure that we don't miss out on some of the big points here, especially this one here, meeting Jesus in the air, because that's one that a lot of people have questions about. So 2 Peter chapter 3, not all at once. Daryl and Keith were arguing about who is going to be spokesperson. I'm seeing people kind of look at Ernie or Sue, so I'm gonna delegate one of you. There we go. Okay, let's have it, Sue. All right. So timing. Okay. Yes. All right. What else? Okay. Yes, that's true. What does it say about how the world is going to end? Sounds like cosmic upheaval, doesn't it? Okay. What else do we have?
It says the heavens.
New heaven and new earth, right. Yeah, that's...
opposite of heaven will...
That's right. Good question. Just as a little hint, next week we'll talk about new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21 and 22. So make sure you're here. Make sure you're here. Yes, you'll listen online. Is there anything in there about a loud noise? Yes, thank you, Daryl. Look at Daryl. He's stepping into this role as spokesperson. He did. That's right. Loud noise. It's ironic that when I ask about loud noises, Daryl speaks up.
I wonder why.
Okay. We'll let Sue and Mary hash that out. All right. That was the bell. But I don't want us to lose sight of some of these things.
We missed that part. We have a loud noise too.
You do. You think loud noises would be what everybody would catch? All right. That's right, holy living.
And I look at this thing being, it is comparable to the thing, but it doesn't mention it. Mm-hmm. But if we don't live our lives,
that's right. Okay, give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes of your attention, and we can wrap this up and maybe keep the conversation rolling a little bit next week also. But I want to make sure that we get this. In all these different teachings about the end times, we see some differences, right? We see some differences. We see things like angels. We see things like, you know, the coming of the Son of Man. But there's also some strong similarities. There's a loud noise that kind of symbolizes that this is the end. Jesus is returning to earth. We see things like cosmic upheaval. There are signs that alert us that, you know, the end is kind of near. And we need to be ready because it's unexpected. It's an unexpected ending. We don't know exactly. It's going to come like a what? Like a thief in the night. If you knew when the thief was going to come, you'd be ready. So you need to be ready all the time. The righteous will not perish. The righteous will not perish. Meet Jesus in the clouds. So here's the last thing I want to talk about. And I hope that maybe if you get to join us in a small group tonight, we might be able to talk about some of this there also. This idea of meeting Jesus in the clouds. How many of you have heard the word rapture before? Everybody's heard that before. I hate to end on such a controversial note. The Bible doesn't teach rapture. The Bible doesn't teach rapture. This is not we're all pulled out of earth and then the earth is wiped out. Remember when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem? What do the people do? They go out to meet him, right? And then they welcome him into the city. They're shouting Hosanna. It's a loud noise and they're shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. Meeting Jesus in the clouds. Jesus descends. We meet him in the clouds and then welcome him as Lord to reign with him on earth. We meet Jesus in the clouds and then we welcome him to reign on earth. This language of meeting Jesus in the clouds, it's triumphal entry language. It's triumphal entry language. The end of time, yes, ma'am. I know that's very different from what a lot of people have heard, but I think that that's the best way to...
He's going to come back and reign on earth.
Yes, ma'am.
What does it mean when it says this earth's going to be destroyed and burned up?
You'll have to come next week for new heaven and new earth in Revelation 21 and 22. It seems like it might be renewed or replaced. There's some discussion about that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. So, like I said, I hate to end on such a note, but hopefully I've whet your appetite for next week. Thank you all very much. You're dismissed. Okay.